to see you guys. I hope you guys had a great Wednesday. You know, I kind of view Wednesdays as like a recharge time. I don't know about you, but you're dealing with the world Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and kind of beat up, a little bruised. And then you come in on Wednesday, kind of get mended back up, and encouraged for the week ahead, or at least for the rest of the week. Let's do this. Let's take our Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 13. Actually, Mark chapter 12, and I want to read verses 28 and following. We'll make our way there, then we'll pray, and we'll get going with this evening. Mark 12, verse number 28. When the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that they had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first commandment is, Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, for there is no commandment greater than these." Lord, we ask tonight that you would meet with us. Take your precious word, and Lord, I pray that you would simply speak through these very frail lips. Lord, I pray that your spirit would work in my heart and those that are here and those that are listening. Lord, bring us to a point of decision so that we'll be active, serving and honoring you with our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, during the span of the Christian life, I have this theory that you and I oscillate between being on fire for God and not so on fire for God. I don't know if it's typical in real life, but over the track record of my life, there have been times when I've been like very on fire, very driven, very pointed in what I wanted to do with my days and my minutes and the hours of my day. And then there were some other days that I was not so engaged with that. And maybe about a day or two or a week or a month pass without doing everything I could do. And I don't know if that's stereotypical of Christianity, or if you and I, from time to time, either are a refresher or a little time to reignite. But I want to challenge you tonight on your relationship with God as it as we focus in on the reignition or reigniting our passion for God. And I use that word passion pretty pointedly tonight. Passion is something that you and I have. And we have about different things. Just to give you an example that we're probably all aware of, you guys know George Prim and his passion for Ford vehicles, right? Not so much. He loves Chevy. And I'm surprised he's not breaking through the back doors right now trying to hurt me. So if you, and I've cautioned myself because he's my cousin, I rarely bring up the Chevy topic because I value my time. And I don't want to be caught in a 30-minute, like, you know, doxology about the Chevy vehicles. And so, you know, I'm being just, you know, I'm just jesting. But there's a passion there. There's a pointed activity that he has, a hobby that he's really excited about. For some people, it's golf, or quite honestly, it could be baking, or whatever. I mean, there's passions, and there's desires, and there's drives towards different things, which I think is... it's okay, it's good. But you understand passion. Passion has a strong sense of enthusiasm towards something, an excitement, an emotional drive. Sometimes passions are really hard to control. Sometimes they're easy to control. But passion shows up oftentimes at work and in hobbies. And how many of you guys are just passionate about your family? Would you say that? I mean, I am. I'm passionate about my family. I'm passionate about my relationship with my wife and with my kids. I know about all that stuff for sure. I'm passionate about my church life, too. I enjoy the friends and the associates and the counselors and the just good, godly people that we have at church. It's something that I value. And I'll tell you, as a whole, there's nothing that's going to be sustained in life without passion. Now, catch that for a second. There's nothing that's going to be sustained in life. So we can start, But there's very few things that are going to be sustained in life without a drive or a passion for that. And that includes your life and your relationship with Christ. And I want to challenge you on that tonight. And obviously we can apply this to a million different areas, right? We could talk about your spousal relationship, and that would be applicative. We could talk about your parental relationship, that would be applicative as well, or with your job. I could encourage you by some of the principles found in the Bible that you and I are supposed to be passionate about our job and do a good job while we're there. And be truthful and honest and all such. But as far as your relationship with God, God is very interested in you and I having a complete connection with Him. In fact, in the words of Scripture, He says, I want you to love me with all, everything that you've got. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And we could dissect this, but I want to leave it there for a second. I want to give you the big picture that God is very interested in you and I relating to Him on a very passionate level, a very intimate level. And so a good question for you to at least put on the table today is this. Is your relationship with Christ where it could be? I don't want to say where it should be. I want to say where it could be today. And with that, lead you to a decision, or at least some question, and that is, could you have a more passionate relationship with Christ? He certainly wants it, right? He certainly desires it. In fact, he is hungry for it, wants the intimacy, and wants the connection for sure. In fact, he puts it this way. He wants everything from us. And he's interested in this complete connection. And as far as what we do for God, he's interested in this as well, like acts of service. And you can do that passionately as well. You can seek the Lord passionately. You can love Him passionately. You can serve Him passionately. You can obey Him passionately and trust Him passionately as well. Those all kind of like slip off my tongue as easy things to preach about, but those topics oftentimes are very difficult to execute. That you and I would seek God passionately. I mean, are you guilty of that? Is that something that you and I could be guilty of if somebody comes into our lives and sees the secret aspects and facets of our life? Would somebody say about my life or your life that an individual is passionately in love with God? I mean, I would hope so. I've had plenty of people ask me, why do you do what you do? Why do you say what you say? Why do you not say what you say? And I simply can respond by saying, well, I'm a Christian. And there's some things that we don't do, and there's some things that we do do. I've had people ask me, why are you so happy all the time? And I think to myself, well, I serve kind of a great God. And He does a really good job taking care of me, even though I'm a stinker sometimes. I mean, He does a really good job loving me. And so we could talk about our passion for seeking Him, hunting Him down, following after Him, or serving Him. Again, comes off of my tongue pretty easily, but how many of you find it difficult to serve sometimes when you're tired and cranky? Well, like me, sometimes I get tired and cranky, right? You don't want to serve right away. And sometimes we get protective of our time and what we're doing and how long is this going to take, how much is this going to cost type of thing. I know that you're not guilty of this. It's just me, for sure. But this happens from time to time, and God says, listen, your drive should be to serve me and do so passionately or obey. You guys know that trusting and obedience kind of run hand in hand. And again, it can slip off my tongue pretty easily, but sometimes you and I just don't want to obey. And it's easy for me to look at this and say to my children, hey, Mom or Dad told you to do this. Now, this is pretty simple. But then I rationalize some things that God wants me to do that I just don't do. I say, well, maybe tomorrow, or this person's not doing it, maybe I don't have to do it. Or trusting. How many of you are great trusters, especially when things are not lining up with your timetables or your design? Or, like, you get a little impatient from time to time, and God says, trust me, I've got the timing down perfectly. I want you to know I know what happens in the future and everything's going to be perfect. I'll tell you the cycle that I oftentimes go through when I'm trying to trust Christ passionately is I will deliver to him. And if I could email him or text him, it would be great, saying, here's my timetable. If you could meet this, this would be great because it would make me feel better. But he doesn't do that. And then what happens is I see this timetable elapse past where I feel comfortable. The entire time God knows what's going on. And then all of a sudden the answer comes. The prayer request is answered, whatever happens. And I look in the background and I say, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know exactly what was going on. Lord, help me to passionately trust you in the future, as if you know everything that's going on and I don't. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. So this passion does not happen by accident. It's by design, and it's something that needs to be maintained. I've got a quick story for you before I jump back into Scripture. Several weeks ago, it was on a Saturday, my wife asked me on Friday, she says, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, I'm going to work, and I'll be back a little bit later on Saturday night. And she said, can I go with you to work? And kind of under my breath, I was like, yeah, of course you can go with me to work. That'll be really fun. So she came to work with me, and our job site was going to be vacant that day. It was just going to be the two of us, and we were doing some outside work. And at this job site, it was kind of like a farm setting. One of the crews had built a fire the day before, and we're burning consumables. And I told Tamara, I was like, hey, I'm going to do this. Maybe you can help me out. We'll drag all the branches and stuff like that. We'll throw them on the pile, and then, you know, I'll burn them later. And so we were into this for about a half hour, just stacking stuff, throwing a bunch of stuff on the burn pile. And I went to go grab something else, and I started walking back, and the fire's gone. And initially, I said, Tamara, did you have that fire? Like, where'd you get the fire? Where'd you get the accelerant? What did you do? How'd you make that happen? And she said, I didn't do anything. I'm just doing the same thing you're doing, just dragging stuff here. And so it kind of dawned on me, there is something latent that was there. It was still hot underneath what I could see. And then we laid everything on top, and then poof, it was gone. It up in flames, which is what I designed, what we desired, but I didn't start it. I want to encourage you a little bit tonight that you and I have the ability to keep our relationship with God on fire and keep it passionate day after day after day. And I'll be honest with you, the blessings of that will last a lifetime. And not only your lifetime, but those whom you love. I already asked you, are you passionate about family? I got a bunch of nods. Oh, of course. I will tell you that your passion for Christ will have an effect on those who you love. You'll be able to model a relationship with Christ. I want to encourage you with that. Now, there's three areas that can either fuel or fade your passion for Christ, and I want to develop these three areas, and we'll be done for tonight. Number one, a schedule that includes time with God. That will be a fuel for your passion for Christ. If you decide today, tomorrow, the next day, the end of this week, and next week as well, hey, listen, my relationship with God's not that important, so I'm not going to spend time with him. So I want to give you this encouragement, and I want to do this on a friendly level. Do you personally have a time with Christ? I didn't ask you if you came to church. I didn't ask you if you shared the word. I didn't ask you if you taught Sunday school class or any of that. I specifically want to ask you tonight, do you have a personal time with Christ? And that is literally opening up your Bible. It could be a paper, leatherback Bible like this. It could be an app. It could be whatever. But are you nourishing your relationship with Christ? How many of you know that that is vital in order to have a passion for Christ? You must be in his word. You can't navigate this life without having a relationship with him. Is it a regular basis where you are counting your blessings? Where you're praying? where you're spending time worshiping our Savior. Again, I didn't ask you if you came to church or if you were helping anybody. I'm mostly interested in talking about your personal, intimate relationship with God. And that's a viable question for tonight. It's okay for me to ask you, do you crack God's Word open on a daily basis? Whether it be 5 minutes or an hour or what have you, I'm telling you, it counts. It's vital. If you want a relationship that is fueled with passion for Christ, it includes spending time with God. Another avenue that I want to spend some time with tonight is, do you spend time with God's people as well? Now, I can't hide this. I want to share with you one of the most appreciated commodities that I have in this world is good Christian friends. That is something that I love beyond measure. Now, you think about what the world has to offer, right? It has a lot to offer as far as pleasure is concerned. It has a lot to offer things that can affect you in a positive fashion as well as negative. But one thing that I esteem and hold high is the ability to go to a Christian brother or even a Christian sister and find communion with them in a relationship with God. I mean, don't you enjoy the fact that you can talk to somebody and they don't act like the world? Like, they don't talk like the world? You're not trying to manage truth or untruth. You're not trying to, like, decipher if they have your best interest at heart or if they're trying to take advantage of you. One of the things that I really love is just a good, godly friend. And I'm not apologetic about this as well. Tammy and I, over the years, have just prayed for good, godly friends. And I'm not shy about sharing that. You say, well, that sounds kind of foolish. Well, like, I don't care. Like, I need good, godly friends in my life. And so do you. You and I are called to sharpen each other. Iron sharpeneth iron. And so a good godly friend is somebody that you can spend time with. If you don't have one, if you don't have somebody that's next to your side, if you don't have somebody that will walk with you for a mile or for 2 miles or will stay with you through a trial, good or bad, I'd encourage you to pray for friends. I encourage you to spend some time with friends. I love the fact that we can come to church and be together. You know, one of the things that I missed during the COVID era was the shaking of the hands. Do you guys like that back? I mean, I do. I mean, if we could, I'd maybe sing 4 or 5 stanzas, right? I love bouncing around and saying how everybody's doing and hope you're having a great day and how'd your week go. And I mean, it's really enjoyable for me. Sometimes I get shy and I'll just sit in the pew and somebody will come up to me and I enjoy that too. But I tell you, God's given us something wonderful here at this church where you and I have the ability to spend time with one another. It will fuel your fire with God, or you can make a decision not to do that. This has been our first 5th Sunday meeting, right, since COVID? Is that right? Or is this the second one? Yeah, from last week. So we went over to the Carrillo's house, and Tamara was asking me, she's like, okay, here's some houses. And I was like, let's do the Carrillo's. We're connected with them, and they're my deacon's prayer group, and I said, I'd like to go there. So we went there, had a great time, and then kind of like everybody left, or some people left, and then we stayed and left for a while. I mean, over serious stuff. And I drove home, and I was like, I really enjoy silliness like that, and I enjoy just laughing and having a good time. And we were just talking about stuff, whatever. But it was great. And I told my wife, I really value that. I really value that we can go to somebody's house, and you don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to worry about anything. You have good Christian brothers and sisters. So Christ has called us to a passionate relationship with him. One of the ways that you and I can do that is that we fuel our relationship with him. It includes time with him and with Christian brothers and sisters. And I can say this through experience and through other people's experience as well. I would challenge you not to do this life without God but without his people. I don't think it can happen. I really don't think that you and I can manage life without God or without his people. And to be flat out honest with you, we're not that strong. I mean, we're not made that way. We're not made to endure this world without each other, for sure. Now, I'm going to look back for a second on a word that I touched earlier, and that was the word nourishment. It's really hard for you and I to live life on an unnourished soul, right? That's why I would encourage you to reach inside God's Word and spend some time with it, even tomorrow, even tonight, all by yourself. How many of you are this type? And don't be embarrassed one way or the other. So, on your vehicle, there's a fuel gauge, right? Fuel is either full or fuel is either getting kind of towards the E. How many of you would say, hey, Bob, I love it on the full mark, and if it comes down a little bit, like a quarter of a tank, bang, I'm right back at that gas station. I gotta get getting closer to the F again. Is anybody like that? Okay, that's awesome. How many of you are a little bit more towards the E? And you're like, you know what, I know this vehicle. And it says E, but I know I got 26 and a half miles left to go. Is there anybody like that? All right, we got one very truthful soul in back. I used to be that way, but I'm a convert now. And you know why I'm a convert? I ran out of gas. It's really easy to be a convert, you know, right? We're like, and I remember exactly where I was in my truck, and I was far away from home. And I felt like I was like 2 miles from a gas station, which I knew was like my safety, my home base. And I'm driving, it's at night for sure. Just got off work a little bit late, and then my truck starts to sputter. I'm like, this is not going to be good. And so my knee-jerk reaction was, who do I know that's close? Because I know my wife's not going to drive like an hour to come get me. She would have, but I'm trying to find a closer soul. So I called a pastor buddy. I'm making this up now. I think it was probably maybe 8 o'clock. And I was like, hey, Pastor Nelson, this is Bob Muckenschnabel. He's like, Bob, what are you doing? You know, basically call me this late. And I said, well, I think I'm about 3 miles from you, where you live. I wanted to see if you can come out with a gas can and save me. He goes, of course I can, you foolish young man. I'll be right there. And so he came, 10 minutes, picked me up. We went to the gas station, got myself all fueled up. And I said, oh, thanks, Pastor Nelson. Super duper appreciate it. And maybe I can return the favor someday. But now, when it gets close to E, I'm like straight to the gas station. I don't want this to happen, like, ever. And I had this panic that I'm going to be, like, out of fuel, and it's going to be heavy traffic, and everybody's going to be mad at me. So that gets me to the gas station for sure. Now, let me get back on the topic at hand as you and I manage our passion for God and can have an extremely passionate relationship with him. Why would you and I want to run our life on E? Why do we want to do that? Why do we want to navigate our day tomorrow with disappointments, with things that are going to be discouraging at work, with things that are going to just change on you rapidly? Why would you want to try to navigate life on spiritual E? It's good to fuel up, right? It's good to fill up. Be filled with what the Lord would have you do. A lot easier to manage it that way. How many of you know that if you're not prayed up and fueled up, if I can use that illustration, your day can go from okay to bad, like, real fast, right? Or if you are filled up, if you are prayed up, your day can go to okay, and you can literally manage a lot of stuff that day. Discouragement and disappointment, things that change rapidly, you're like, okay, I can do this. And you know this to be true. Oftentimes, this has happened during God's Word, and oftentimes, God takes somebody else's problem and links it to that which you've learned that day, and you're able to be a counselor, a help to them. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Right. You know God exactly knows what he's doing, for sure. Number two, another way that you can fuel or literally drain your relationship with God is with either confessed sin or unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9, you know this by heart. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David in Psalm chapter 38, verse number 4 through 6 says this, "For my iniquities, my sin is over my head, and as a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My loins stink and are caught because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." You know, at the end of the day, sin quickly extinguishes our passion for Christ. And again, on a friendly level, I want to talk to you tonight, and I want to tell you, listen, one of the big ways that you can fill your life with a passion for Christ is spending time with Him. Spending time with good, godly people. Number two, confess your sins. Now, I don't say this unless I knew that this was God's plan, and this is how He works. And just by way of encouragement and friendship, would you please take your sin seriously, as serious as I need to take my sin? Will you go to the Savior and say, "Lord, I have rationalized, I have sidestepped, I have thrown this under the carpet for days and months, but Lord, I need to deal with my sin. I need to deal with my difficulties. I need to deal with my stubborn attitude, my lack of obedience." And friend, you and I know that confess sin is good for the soul. I want to challenge you tonight. If you have any confessed sin, that is between you and God. But you'd spend some time doing business with God. How many of you know this is worth it? How many of you know that this is important, right? You do know that you and I can try to manage our lives with unconfessed sin, and it's just a burden. And it just surfaces time after time after time again, and it quickly extinguishes our passion for Christ. Maybe today, maybe now, maybe later, we'll get this taken care of, but don't get apathetic about it for sure. Number three, one way that you can fuel your passion for Christ is you remember how He feels about you. Now, there's no way that we cannot mistake how God passionately cares about us. And I tell you, passion, God's passion for me and God's passion for you, I believe this, it solicits a response. And I want to fine-tune this just a bit. We could talk about God's passion for His creation, right? We could talk about His passion for this world and for the people of this world and for salvation and for eternity. We can talk about His passion for that. We could fine-tune, we can even talk about God's passion for my cat. And how God has supernaturally preserved this church and walked us through several times. We can talk about how God's graciously given us a great pastor and great pastors. We can talk about all these things, how God's blessed us and how passionate He is about us. And then we can talk about your family and how passionate God is about your family. About your mom and your dad and about your siblings and about your brothers and sisters. But I want to fine-tune this even more. I want to talk about God's passion for you specifically. For you personally. Not your spouse, not your friends, not your grandkids, not your mom and dad. About you personally. And I hope you believe this, that God has a very devout and precise passion for you. And I believe it solicits a response. You and I were made to commune with Him, to love Him. And you and I were created, obviously, to glorify Him, but you were created to be an object of His love as well. And oftentimes, Scripture points us to rehearse and remember so many things. Now, I have forgotten. On the front of our communion table, does it say in remembrance of me, or is it blank? It does say it? Almost every church on their communion table has this, these words, in remembrance of me. So there's a lot of things that the Lord asks us to remember. No doubt He asks us to remember the body and the blood that was shed, right? But He asks us to remember that He's our Creator. And do you know that the Creator of this earth, the Creator of the complexity of this earth, is your Creator, and he's passionately, specifically caring for you. He also asks us to remember that he was born on this world, lived a sinless life, and gives us an example of how you and I are supposed to live. He asks us to remember that he died on the cross and that he rose again. He asks us to remember that his Spirit is with us and that it guides us and that it helps us and that it empowers us. And he also asks us to remember that he's coming back someday. Now, you guys can get Pentecostal for about 4 seconds and just say amen. Literally, he says, remember this, Bob, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back for you specifically. I'm coming back for my loved ones. I'm coming back for my family. And I'm coming back for the people that I shed my blood for and I died for. I believe this passion solicits a response. I just have a couple minutes left. I'll tell you guys a funny story, and then we'll draw some conclusions and finish up. There's one person that I'm passionate about. That's my wife. Love her to death. Glad God gave it to me. And as the days go on, you know how this works. It just gets better and better. So I have this knee-jerk response when I'm on the telephone. With the people that I care about, I'll say I love you when I'm saying goodbye. Does anybody do this on a regular basis? You just say, yeah, this is part of your, you know, goodbye. Love you, and that's it. That's just what I do. I do it to some of the guys that I work with and have done it for a long time. And it's whatever. I do care about them a ton. But I do it with my family all the time. Even if I call them up and say, hey, how you doing? 3 seconds. I'm doing fine. All right, I love you. Goodbye. It's just like rolls off the tongue. Well, this happened several months ago, and I was on the phone with one of our clients, and it's kind of wrapping up a conversation about some of the stuff that we were supposed to do, and it was coming at the very, very, very end of the conversation. I saw a text message come in from my wife. You know how it kind of pops up on the top of your phone? Bang, it's right there. And I don't know, it didn't say anything gushy. It was just my wife. And I was like, ah. All of a sudden, my mind like drifted off to her. And so I say goodbye to this guy and say, I love you. And I hang up the phone. I was like, wait a second. That was weird. That was really weird. Did I text him? But maybe I should not say anything at all. Maybe I should call him back. Maybe I do that? What do I do? So I decided to call him back and say, hey, it's Bob again. And he's laughing like crazy. And he's like, yeah, you kind of like told me that you love me there. And I was like, yeah, I know our relationship's kind of new and we just started working together. But I saw a text message coming from my wife and I tell her that I love her all the time. And that's that. He's still laughing. And he goes, well, I don't know what to do. I was going to tell you I loved you too, but that was weird too. So maybe we just say goodbye right now. And I was like, yeah, that's probably the best thing to do. I said, I'll catch you next time type of thing. I say all that to say this. You and I have been created not to live an apathetic, nominal life in our relationship with God. Yeah, is it easy for us to go from point A to point B and not have the passion that we need, not have the drive, not have the sustenance that we need that we can take hold of on a relationship with Christ? Yeah, we could, but we're not created for that. I'm so thankful that God lived a life that was passionate for me. I could get wound up. I could bring myself to tears. I could get choked up in a heartbeat right now and let you know. I am so thankful for God's decision to die on the cross. Like, for me. And for you, too. I'm so thankful that he stayed there. I'm so thankful that he rose from the grave. I'm so thankful today that he lives interceding on my behalf. I'm thankful for this. So you and I come to a point of decision. This is a Wednesday night. We have the ability to remember all that God's done for us that can be a fuel for our passionate relationship with God. Go directly to confessing your sins. That will open up the floodgates and fuel your passion for Christ. You can schedule a time with our Savior. Spend time with Him. Spend some time with people who love our Savior, who are pointed in the same direction. Friend, we can pass these days not having a passionate relationship with Christ, but why? Why would we not keep the pedal down on this? Why would we not put our all into it? Why do we realize that quite possibly you and I have either 10 years or 5 years or 30 years left here on this planet? Why do we not put absolutely everything that we have into this, into our relationship with Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for the day that you've given to us, and specifically for this time. Lord, we're thankful for all that you have put into us, all that you have invested. Lord, your call to us to be close and intimate to you. Lord, I pray today that we would be about the business of confessing our sins. Lord, that we would be doing the personal business that we absolutely, positively must. Lord, let us be about the business of remembering how passionately you took care of us and still today do. Lord, let us bring to light the need for our attention on you on a daily basis. Lord, that we would commune with you and come to you and serve you and obey you. We ask, dear Lord, that you'd bless our time in prayer as it comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.